What's up, party people? DFW Real Estate Weekly with Todd Tremonti. Got the full crew with us, and today we are talking about massive mistakes, and I mean like super consequential, devastating mistakes that people make when buying homes on land, small acreage properties, big backyard properties. These are the things that people overlook, don't know to look for, don't think about, or like 6 months after moving into a place, encounter an issue and go, oh my gosh, I didn't know. Oh, someone should have told me. I should have checked. I should have asked. And I was reminded of this past Saturday. I was dropping the kids off at a place and it was pouring rain. I don't know if you guys were out at all, but I mean,
negative. It was like, a rather heavy downpour.
It was a monsoon dumping rain. So much rain came so fast that this is the exact thought that came to mind. I actually went home, shot a video, and sent it to you, Courtney, that was like, we need to share this with our people. And it was about how water affects properties, how water moves on properties, how properties hold water or don't. I'm not even joking. I was driving down the road, and I was watching inches of topsoil pour out of one of the last remaining farms in our area, just dumping into the roadway. The water was like 2.5 feet deep,
yeah,
of like chocolate milk rich. And I'm just thinking, this happens to people when they have the 3-4-5 acre backyard, even like the 3/4 acre neighborhood cul-de-sac corner lot, you know, like just more property to deal with water on. Go ahead. It looks like you have a thought.
No, I was just watching the storm drains, like just gurgling. They weren't taking water at all.
So let me make my point really quickly, and then we can kind of riff on how this affects people, and I can make the point I was making on that video. But number one, if you have, this is why homes on land is different in this situation. Not always, but a lot of the times. So if you have a normal neighborhood developed lot, like that developer had to get a grading permit and there's drainage inspections. So it's highly unlikely that your water is going to have notable issues. Now, we've had clients over the years that have said, you know, hey, my neighbor's sprinklers drain into my yard, you know, and so someone may be talking about putting in a French drain or whatever, but multiply that times 4 or 8 or 12, you know, your fifth acre or quarter acre lot is now 1 or 2 or 3 acres or more. And now you're going, okay, well, there's a big area in the back that just holds a ton of water. And then that turns into mosquitoes. And then all my neighbors are angry, you know, whatever. Or, you know, this water pools by my foundation. When it rains really, really, really bad, that neighborhood's water backflows up my ditch into my driveway and washes out all my gravel. You know, all these things happen differently with acreage properties that are often, not always, not master planned, not maybe have never been graded for residential use. It might be what's left of an old farm or ranch or larger acreage property. Now, there are some communities of like all the lots are 2 acres. Even those are rarely been like clear cut and graded. That's not what people typically want out of those. They're often like, oh, that was an 80 acre ranch. And now it's like 35 2 acre lots and a couple of roads, you know? So they tend to be less level and have more root impact on drainage and flow. So this is not all about drainage. Sometimes it's about holding water. It's about soil quality, where, again, in these new neighborhoods, a lot of times they're bringing in like top, you know, fill dirt. And then below that, you got a bunch of rock and stuff. So this is where, like, do you have any clue what the history of this property is? I know that when I bought my acreage property, I was told, and I've done as best I can to verify that it had been a dairy farm.
No way.
It was the last remaining acreage from what was once a dairy farm. And one side of my property was sold off in the 70s for a development. And then the other side was sold off in the 90s. You can see the age of the homes is very obvious. And both of those have like city developed roads and storm sewer drains and all that. I don't have any of that.
Were you excited about the manure that was in your soil?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, it's not the same level of compaction of soil as like a cattle farm that's like maximizing head of cattle. But I found horse bridles and fishing lures and stuff. Ironically, it was one of those weird moments when we dug our pond. I found like 5 or 6 different fishing reels and lures.
Cow skeletons.
So I was like, feels like someone's fished here before. But it was a low sinkhole place that held a lot of water.
Yeah.
Now, I bought my home. This is just proof that I tell the truth on this show in November, because we like to buy in the fall.
We have been wondering, so thank you for clarifying.
Don't lie.
You always trust but verify, you know? But that was a low area, and I noticed it's holding a lot of water. And before we bought, I told my wife, hey, I think I want to put a pond there someday. And it's at the very back, zone 5 of our property. So she's like, I don't care what you do back there. So I was like, great. So, and I did. And so after paying attention to the water flow of our property, because we knew we were going to have issues, we dug the pond, and then we used all the dirt that came out of that pond to create some other water management.
You have some highways in your backyard.
Yeah. So we have
a lot to manage.
Big surface drainage ditch. We have a big berm that redirects water. And then we built an elevated road
He made a levee.
So that our water doesn't affect our neighbors, because that's what the city required. I did have to get a grading permit to put in my pond.
Did you consider a shark moat?
I did. Fresh water, not as friendly to the sharks, although my son would tell you there are stories of tiger sharks swimming upstream in brackish creeks and rivers.
What about sharks with lasers?
That's a discussion for a different episode.
Those are harder to come by.
But I'm into it. Okay, so here's the deal. This is not about me or my property. We're just using waterfall and flow and holding and movement as an example of how people often make really big mistakes before they go buy a 1, 2, 5, 10, whatever acre property. But they're treating it like a neighborhood house. Like, oh, I just buy a house and other people check all that stuff and it's fine. Like, these are not things that happen. Like, they're sort of leaning on the idea that, like, when the city had codes and the developer had to get permits, like, all that's hand. They're not thinking that, but they've always been able to trust that when they've bought a condo, a townhome. They've lived in an apartment. They bought a house in a normal neighborhood. And by the way, we love normal neighborhoods. But when you are talking about buying or living in a home on more land, you are less and less likely to have all that regulation and inspection and survey. You might have septic. And where your septic tank is buried, at some point, someone once dug a big hole. You might have a well. You might not have gutters that flow out to concrete that flow out to a storm drain. You might just have a ditch out front. You might not have a ditch and need to think about it. You might have a pier and beam home where water wants to pool underneath the home. You might want... you know, a pond and fish, you might need to think about where to put that to handle drainage, but also to be an advantage. In the world of permaculture, which I'm a fan of, we say the problem is the solution. Okay, the problem is I got all this water sitting on my property. Well, how do I turn that into a solution? What's a solution for recreation and beauty and fish? Okay, so I'm going to make a pond. But you might need to think about pumps. You might need to think about adding some concrete, adding some drainage ditches. What are you doing with your gutter downspouts? Do you want to capture that water? Some cities and counties will not let you do rainwater catchment off of a roof and gutters. Others will. A lot of people just don't ask. So what the crazy amount of rain we had made me think of this as I watched people literally just having their properties within like 30 minutes go full flood zone. Not official flood zone, but you know what I mean.
I don't live on a home on land, but we back up to a creek in our neighborhood, and our home was built a little elevated, and it has a wall because the creek, when we have a rain like that, will just bust open.
Yep.
And now, it's a bunch of area that just gets flooded.
Perfect example, and we helped you buy it. So obviously that wasn't like a surprise to you later, but... because a developer built that neighborhood, the city required that retaining wall or bulkhead or whatever it is, and the amount of elevation. And they had to look at what's the 30-year, 100-year flood map. You got to be above that. The point is, and we're only talking about water as an example. This could be wind. This could be light movement. This could be electrical access. Things like, could I add solar? Could I have chickens? Yeah, just different ways to assess when you have acreage or a bigger lot. And we're using water as that example that people make terrible mistakes. You buy a house in summer. Your agent doesn't suggest that you check it. You don't check it. You don't think of it. The whole time you're viewing it, inspecting it, buying it, crazy rain like this never happens. And then you move in and 2 days later, you get one of these 2-inch rains in one day, big Texas thunderstorm. And you're going, oh, no. The patio's flooding. Blah, blah, blah. Now, there are disclosures where the previous owner would have to tell you, like, has the kitchen flooded? But they, at no point, if you ask, you know, do you know that my yard is half underwater and then it's soggy for 3 weeks. So this is just an example of A, why you need expertise, why you need to slow down and be cautious, and why you need to acknowledge that acreage property, big backyard property is different when buying, selling, and enjoying it. And if you ever need help with that, that is one of the two things we love to do most and specialize in and have agents and have the information and have the resources for you to think about these things. And you can reach out to us. Our information's in the show notes, or you can just go to toddtremonteteam.com. But desirable DFW neighborhood homes and big backyard, small acreage properties are what we love to do. It's what we think about when we're driving down the road and it's raining. It's how to protect you and advocate for you. If we can do that for you, holler at us, find us online. We're here to help. And by the way, if you need to borrow some money, like most of us do when you buy one of those properties, reach out to our guy, Patrick Glaros, patrickglaros.com for all your mortgage needs. He and his team are going to walk you through the process, educate you, advocate for you. Make sure you view that mortgage as not only how to get the property, but about your wealth building process and making sure you understand all your choices. That's Patrick Glaros, patrickglaros.com, NMLS number 308804.
When you get that home under contract, do me a favor and fight to get Republic Title on it. They're all over the Metroplex.
Do yourself a favor.
For sure. A good title company is so critical, a bad title company can ruin the deal. It really can.
Absolutely.
It can make it,
seen it happen many
so
times.
Difficult to get things done. Republic Title are great. They're one of the leaders in the industry. They will take phenomenal care of you. RepublicTitle.com. All their information is in the show notes.
Yep. If all else fails, ToddTremonteTeam.com.